That is Robert Smith and The Cure. And Friday, I'm in love. Well, it's not a Friday, it's a Wednesday. And I said we were going to have a special guest in the studio. And look, we've hit the jackpot because we've got two. And it's all about the upcoming retreat. In fact, it started today. This is for the Burn Support Group. They're having their annual Women's Burn Survivor Retreat. It's at Castaways Resort in Kariatahi Beach in Waiuku. As I said, started today, goes through to the 11th. And it's a haven for women to share their stories and feelings with others similarly affected, an opportunity to discuss all the feminine issues they face while learning strategies, tips and techniques to enrich and empower their day-to-day lives, all while having fun and getting lots and lots of pampering. Now, as I said, we hit the jackpot. We've got two special guests in the studio. We've got Delwyn Breslow, who's been here at East FM before, and we've also got a visitor from Australia in the form of Trina Blaisley. So we'll just get your microphones turned on, ladies, and say good morning to you. Firstly, Delwyn, thank you very much for coming back here to East FM. I know, I think with the burns, it was sort of brought to our focus, or to the most of the public's focus recently in New Zealand anyway, with the tragedy at White Island. So we kind of know what we're up against now. And in the past, it's been something, I guess, unless you were a survivor, that people didn't really talk about it, but it's sort of been in the public eye through the White Island thing. It's just god awful is what I would say. But what a fantastic job you've done with your late husband over the years to bring all this awareness and focus on not so much the horrificness of it, but the survivor part of things. I think that's fantastic. Oh. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you, Phil, and thank you very much for your invitation. Appreciate that.
Tell us a little bit about the retreat.
Well, as you say, you described it perfectly at your introduction there. It's an opportunity because many of these girls live in far-flung places all over New Zealand, and they really sometimes never have any contact with any other burn survivors. So the annual retreat is generally the only time that they can get together and share their thoughts and feelings and aspirations with each other. And it's very empowering, that in itself, to be able to do that. They don't feel alone anymore, and this is basically what our group is all about, so that nobody ever feels alone.
You were saying to me off air that the thing with burns and scarring, and there's no getting away from it, is the fact that the public reaction to the person that is the survivor, that's the hardest thing, isn't it?
It is. It's very hard, and it's very easy for a lot of burn survivors to interpret the staring of the public as being rude.
Yes.
When really it's not. It's only a natural curiosity for people to look at something or somebody who looks a little bit different. They're wondering what on earth has happened to that person, you know? And so we encourage our people to say, you know, I notice you looking at me. I've been burned. And would you like me to tell you my story? And, you know, this opens up a whole new avenue for the people who have obviously been curious about what's happened. You know, they end up making a whole new friend, and there's a whole new feeling of admiration coming from that person, and it just makes everybody feel much more comfortable.
And you've lived through this because of your late husband, and the things that both of you guys have done, I mean, just phenomenal. I was reading a little bit about your husband last night, and he said he sort of made light of the fact that, yes, he's got some scars and things like that, he said, but it makes me stand out. Yeah. I don't have to spike my hair up. I don't have to get tattoos all over my body. I stand out for who I am.
That's right. And he said, I could walk past a group of punk rockers, and I know they just take one look at me, and they're eating their hearts out.
And it's good that people can, you know, we can have a bit of a laugh about this. It's a super serious thing, and I know it's something that it must be just the absolute worst. And I'll bring you in here, Trina, because you've lived through it. Uh-huh. And you've lived through it in a fair while ago now, and I'm picking that things have changed dramatically since you were burned back in the 70s.
Oh, totally. Absolutely, in every way. Like, I grew up, I knew one girl that was in hospital with me, but as a teenager then I just didn't see anybody.
Yes.
And I don't know where everybody hides because, you know, I don't see anybody. So to hook up with originally the Australian Burn Foundation was just amazing. Like, it transformed my life, really, and knowing you're not alone is so important.
I think that's the crux, isn't it?
It really is. you know, and being able to share. I did. There was one lady in Tasmania that we used to share a lot, probably overshare, really. But she's no longer with us, so, you know, it's back to just being me again. But, you know, I'm totally come to terms with it these days, and, you know, if someone's got a problem with it, it's their problem, not mine.
Do you encounter that? Do people...
Oh, yeah, look, I get the double look and I get the triple look. Yes. Probably not so much now, but as a child, they didn't have compression garments, so, you know, my facial scars were quite obvious. And I hate to say it, but the movies, why do they make all the people that are bad, you know, scarred like they've been burnt? I don't know.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
One of my bugbears, but anyway, I'm over that too. I don't know.
Is it about the sort of changing the public awareness?
It is. It's also changing my awareness. Yes. So if I, as a teenager, I learnt that if I was feeling really self-conscious, that people would just stay away from me. If I went in feeling confident, being me, it was like being a magnet.
Yes.
It was just such a difference.
Yeah, projecting a positive self-image.
Absolutely.
And being confident out there. And Alan always said that, you know, once you do that, people will always remember you, and that can have very many positive, you know, spin-offs later on down the track.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And I work in community, so I come across a lot of people with disabilities or mental health issues and all that sort of thing. And the connections I make really easily now. I just love communicating with people, and they don't, particularly in the disability sector, like, no one cares what you look like. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And I guess the thing with burns, and I guess it's the same with any disability, but for me, burns especially, there's a real psychological part of it too. I mean, what you've just described is, to me, seems to be the perfect way that you've got to accept this, and you've just got to get on with it and just take me as I am, and if you don't like it, hard luck.
Yeah. Absolutely. Look, I suppose as a teenager was the tough time for me.
Yes, I'm sure, yeah.
Because it wasn't cool to be attracted to somebody like me. But, you know, as I got into my 20s, I ended up having children, you know, like, life is normal.
Yeah.
I know normal's just a cycle on the washing machine, but, you know.
Oh, that's a great quote. I read that last night. I thought that was brilliant. Now, the other thing I read about, and you've got to talk to me about this, chakra dancing.
Aha. Okay. So I'm a chakra dance facilitator, and chakra dance is a movement therapy modality.
Mm-hmm.
So the chakras are energy centres within your body.
Yes.
Each one's assigned a colour of the rainbow, I guess. And I will guide you through a dance where you dance with your eyes closed or a mask on. And you go on an inwards journey. Mm-hmm. So it's about self-development and finding out what's locked inside, I guess. It's fabulous. I really like it.
Did that come about initially because you were a burn survivor, or did you just stumble on and think this is pretty good?
Look, I did a lot of personal development over the years, just looking for, I don't know what, but something. And I'm really attracted to colours, and I've always been attracted to colours. So depending on who I'm with, what I'm doing, what mood I'm in, will impact what colour I'm actually drawn to on that day. And eventually finding chakra dance, because I love music and I love dance as well. So finding those three together was just magic.
And there'll be some dancing going on at the retreat this weekend?
There will. I believe I'm going to run a session tonight.
Oh, there you go.
I ran a retreat last weekend in Tasmania. So, yeah, it's awesome. Love it. It's my new business. It's what I plan to do when I get to retire.
So what you're doing in Australia, is that full-time? like the, all the stuff that, you know, in the community and things like that that you've been doing?
Yeah, I work in a community centre 4 days a week.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to develop the chakra dance business. So mm-hmm. that was the first retreat I'd ever run. Yeah. But, you know, I just turned 60 on Friday, so I'm looking at retirement and what I can do and how I can travel, actually. I love travelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, TED Talk or something like that. That could be in your future.
Possibly.
Yeah, why not? Well, I mean, look what the fantastic work Dalwyn and her late husband have done right around the world over exactly. the last 20 or so years.
Exactly. It's
just amazing. Dalwyn, tell us what the ladies can expect at the retreat. How does it work?
Well, Michelle has got all sorts of fun and interesting and learning experiences lined up. We have a counsellor coming, speaking about, I think, coming to terms with body image,
yes.
which is a very important one, I think, and sexuality coming into that too. We have our own resident plastic surgeon coming in so he can answer any questions, and he's giving a presentation as well. And we have Dr. Lise DeGuire. Is it Zooming or Skyping in from America?
Oh, okay, yes.
She's a clinical psychologist who's also suffered a significant burn, really big burn. So her presentation is going to be really good. It's called Finding and... I think pursuing and finding your own personal resilience. And then we're going to do a little, we have some fun stuff. I think we're doing a bit of archery, and then we have a wonderful, glamorous swept up dinner at the end where it's a black and white theme. So we all wear black and white, and it's a really special occasion because it's last night. And yeah, it's going to be fabulous. Yeah.
And I mentioned before.
We also have a special session, a sharing session of our sharing our stories and
yes.
that sort of thing too, because that's very important.
I was going to say that must be very important because like attracts like, doesn't it? I mean, and support. I mean, that's, you know, you can gather, you know, put, you know.
And see what other people have been through, because so many times, so many people will think that they're the worst that's ever been, and then they hear more. And is that true, Trina?
It is indeed.
Yeah.
And the first retreat I ever went to in Western Australia, you know, I went home and I went back and had more surgery after years of not having any.
That you weren't going to do?
No, I was burnt when I was 8.
Yes.
And I had surgery for 10 years.
Yes.
And at 18, I went, enough,
that's
stop. I've
done.
Had it.
Yep.
And they went, but, we're just getting to the cosmetic stage. And I went, I don't care, enough. And so I ended up going back and in 2006, I think, and having my neck redone. And, yeah, I would never have known. And the options available were just so different to when I was a kid.
Yes, I'm sure.
And the way you dealt with, like when I was a child, you basically got told, this is what we're doing. Now it's all about choice and you're given your options and you get to say, this is what I want. It's so different and so empowering.
And I guess, well, obviously technology's changed, but obviously surgical techniques changed as well. I read a little bit about how the skin graft is so different now than it was like when you were a child.
Oh, absolutely. I had the option chose for my neck was Integra, which didn't exist when I was a child. And they take the scar tissue off, they put the Integra on with a silicone cover, leave that on for 4 weeks. To embed, I guess, and then they put a one-layer thin skin graft over it. So they use the same skin over and over and over, whereas when I was a child, it was, you know, like full thickness and
yep.
the scars
yep.
from the graft
yeah, exactly.
were almost as bad as the, you know, scars itself. Yeah, it was amazing.
And you mentioned it before, I mean, being a teenager, that's about the worst time that you want to be a little bit different from everyone else.
Absolutely. But, you know, I went to a school where I was actually a couple of years younger than everybody
oh,
else
gosh,
as well. So.
That compounds it again. Wow.
Please let me be accepted. Yeah, it was a battle, but we got through.
Well, not only is it, you know, we talk about the scars and that's the most obvious thing people see, the public see with burns survivors, but it's the length of the treatment. I mean, it goes on for years and
sometimes.
Years and years, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I could still go back and get more done.
Yes.
But
there comes a time.
Yeah.
Enough already.
I unless something really drastic happens, like I want to do yoga, you know, my arm would go up. I wouldn't ever consider it again. I'm happy being me.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I heard you ladies talking before about, Dallin, I know you're a keen walker and you're into your yoga as well, and Trina, you're the same. So you can be active. That's another, just a great example.
That's exactly right. I do Tai Chi, not yoga, because if I do yoga, I just fall over because my arm won't extend.
Oh, right, yeah, I get that, yes.
I love Tai Chi. And, yeah, I do heaps. In fact, I have a nickname at work. I'm Tigger.
Tigger.
Yeah. Bouncy, 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 fun, fun, fun.
Well, that's a pretty good nickname.
It is.
And if that's a description, that's a pretty good outlook as well.
I love it.
The other thing, I guess, that the retreat's going to do, it's going to empower the ladies that go along to try different things. I mean, I don't know, and I'm only surmising, obviously, but, I mean, if you're severely burnt, I mean, you probably think, geez, my life's over for a start off. And then you could think, well, hang on a minute, no, it's not. I can do this and I can do that. And then these people are going to meet like people and they say, well, why don't you try this? Just like you guys have been doing this morning. I was intrigued with that conversation before.
Yeah.
And Mel's just a dynamo. I mean,
she's fabulous.
She's nothing else. See, I met Mel on retreat, actually. I shared a room with her in Maroochydore in Australia.
I've been to Maroochydore.
Have you? There you go. It's lovely. So, yeah, no, she's lovely. She's lovely. I have lost my train of thought.
No, that's all right. No problem. Just remember what goes on tour stays on tour with the sharing room. Because I imagine there'd be hijinks.
Us? No.
Now, we're talking today especially about the women's retreat, but Dallin, you guys do it for kids and men as well, don't you? Adults.
We do. Because this organisation started, well, it emanated from when my then 8-year-old son was 40% burned. And at that time, I was in the waiting room waiting for him to have his surgeries, and there was another father beside me whose little daughter was having surgery as well. And she'd had many surgeries over many years, and the doctors and the nurses were wonderful at explaining all the procedures to me, but because I was in a semi-traumatized state, it was going in one ear and out the other.
Yes.
And it was just so wonderful to have this father be able to talk to, because he seemed to know everything there was to know about plastic surgery, and it didn't matter if I asked him the same question 2 or 3 times in as many days. And so I thought afterwards that experience was so valuable to me that I thought, you know, when Brendan gets out of hospital, I'm just going to say to the nurses, look, if you have any other parents who just want to sit down with another parent, please call me and I'll come
in. Talk.
Yep. So that was famous last words. I had my own wedding gown business at that stage, and they ended up calling me so much I just had to give that whole thing away.
Wow.
And then I started the organisation, and then went on to start 22 other groups around the country. And sort of doing re-entry. The first day when Brendan went back to school, he didn't say anything. He was only in hospital a couple of months, but he didn't say anything. But I heard the weeping and sobbing from the bedroom the next morning, and I said, Brendan, what's wrong? He said, I want to go to correspondence school. And kids had started teasing him,
wow.
You see. And
yeah.
So I said, well, look, don't worry. I'll come and talk to the children and tell them what happened to you. And so I went to the principal to ask him if I could come in and talk to the children. He said, oh, no, definitely not. Brendan has to learn to fight his own battles.
Oh, what?
I know. And so I thought, I didn't want this to ever happen to another child. So every other child with whom I came in contact with in the hospital, I would ask the parents if they would want me to see their principal and see if we can, you know, take it from there. And our principal was the only one who was like that. All the other principals welcomed me with open arms. And so I re-entered hundreds of children back to school after their surgeries. And and then I got to know 3 little girls who were really horrendously burned. And so I thought, well, when these kids get to teenage years, they're going to really need peer support. So I used to take these 3 little girls out to Anawata Beach 2 or 3 times a year so that they could establish their friendships and relationships mm-hmm. with each other so that when they hit their teenage years, they wouldn't feel alone. And so that was really the start of my inspiration to start the organisation. And so from then on, that was started with three little girls. We now have about 33 coming to our camp every year, and we fly them in from all over New Zealand. We have camps every year in different locations and different themes and different activities, and it's just so wonderful seeing the children grow up, you know, from little tots to teenagers, and they obviously want to keep involved with the organisation, and they come back as helpers and leaders, and yeah, and that's how it's all grown. And so that was with the children's camp, and then about 6 years ago, I felt I really want to get women together. I think I felt that was important. So we had our first women's retreat out at Annawatta also, and I think we started with six girls. Mel was one of the first ones as well, and so now we have to cap it at 20, and we have girls flying in from Australia for it. I think one year we had four come from Australia, which was great. And then, but COVID put, you know, paid to...
Yeah, as it did with everything, yes.
Yeah, and then, of course, the guys were saying, because we have these wonderful retreats for the women, and the guys were saying, well, you know, we want something too. So now we charter a fishing boat, and the guys will go out for the day fishing if that's what they want to do, you know. I think Michelle's got a different... program organised for next year down at Taupo. I think they're going canoeing or something. Yeah, and so we bring in, you know, guest speakers who are appropriate to their situation. And yeah, it's going to be fun for them as well. So we've had about four or five of those now, I think. So yeah, we try to cater to every. And then we have, during the year ongoing, we have Burn Survivor Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And where everybody gets together, and we generally have a guest speaker as well, and people can mix and mingle, and we put on a catered lunch. And yeah, so it's really important to integrate people and, you know, help them to engender new friendships and relationships and learn more about the situations. And yeah, it's all good.
For people that are maybe living this at the moment, how do they find out more? How do they get in touch?
Oh, just on the website.
Yes.
Yeah. Burns, www.burns.org.nz. And our webpage is there. And Michelle is at the office. And, you know, she'll more than adequately take care of any questions or encourage you to come along to any of the events that would be appropriate.
And just finally, before we wrap this up, a serious question from me. As we evolve with what's happening with Burns, are there more or less than there was? Is it still serious?
Oh,
well, obviously it's very serious, but are the numbers increasing, decreasing?
I've got to be honest, I've not done any recent research into statistics, so I do apologise. I can't.
Oh, no, that's fine. I stuck you on the spot a wee bit there, though. That's okay. And one final question from me. Acceptance is better now than it was?
Well, with the educational programmes like we're putting on, it has to be.
Yes, well, hopefully.
Yeah, we get lots of positive feedback, and it's really important to the ongoing continuation of our organisation. And, I mean, it says a lot that we've been around now for, about 36 years ago I started it. So, yeah, you know, it's wonderful. makes me feel very excited and happy.
As I said to you before, between you and your late husband, you've just done just God's work. It's incredible. It really is incredible.
You do what you got to do, don't you?
Well, clearly you do, Delwyn.
I try.
Trina, thanks very much for coming in. I hope you enjoy the camp, and I hope you get what you're looking for out of your chakra dances over the weekend. And look, all the very best. You're absolutely positive role models. I'm over the moon that you've come in today and had a chat with us. So good luck.
Oh, thank you very much, Phil. Thank you.
All right, there we are. There's two ladies, shining examples of can-do spirit from both Trina and Delwyn. It is coming up to 9 minutes to 10 o'clock.